listen with your ears, but also with your eyes, so you can gain greater insight.
That's like what you say to kids, like, you see with your eyes, not with your hands.
Yeah.
And as a kid, you're like, but I need to feel this thing, whatever it is. Like, I need to see a bunny with my hands.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah. It's not enough to see it with my eyes. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
All right, well, let's kick off with the Sharif.
Right.
Yeah, so we love to listen to other people's podcasts, and one of our favorite podcasts to listen to is Operation Cubicle.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so Operation Cubicle is hosted by Agent Jackson and J.P. Fairfield.
Yeah, and I call him Special Agent Jackson, even though that's not his name.
Right.
He is for real.
Yeah, he is.
Okay, so he sent us a mail.
Yeah, we love Operation Cubicle, and he sent us an email. He said, it's not E-Gene. Bad, but hilarious.
So this is advice.
This is advice.
Awesome.
It's for advice on advice.
Yeah. Cool. So advice on advice is a segment that we do where we find advice on the internet or Special Agent Jackson sends it to us and we critique that advice because it stinks.
And it's unqualified.
Yeah, we want to make it better. So we give advice on that advice, hence hashtag advice on advice.
Right. And this one Agent Jackson sent, it's called The Best of Haruki Murakami's advice column.
Okay. Oh, wow. I didn't know that that existed. That's a shock for me. Okay.
So Haruki is a celebrated novelist, and he is the master of the heartbreaking and surreal.
Okay.
So that's his genre. And so...
It's not my genre. Have you ever read anything that's heartbreaking and surreal?
No.
No. Okay. But let's hear the advice.
So... he started this advice column, and apparently it's blowing up in Japan. And so the question number one is, nice to meet you. I have a problem.
Okay, that's a good start.
There is a person at work who makes me feel depressed. She doesn't treat me as a human being.
Okay.
I am bothered so much that even on days I have off, the person takes over my mind.
Wow.
If you were to write a story and have a character such as this person, what kind of life would she have?
So really people giving him prompts.
Right. So basically, anonymous female, 35 years old.
Okay.
That's how it's signed.
Wow. Okay.
And so he answers, I have a similar experience as you. It's such a pain to work with someone like that. Waking up every day with that in mind is terrible. You lose faith in humanity. I understand where you're coming from. People like that are not uncommon and surprisingly well-liked. And how would his life be if he or she were in my novel, you ask?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, skinned alive with a knife, of course. Just kidding.
Really? I imagine a person reading this and just putting it down there. Skinned alive with a knife. Well, that's where I have to go with this.
Right. Here's another one. Hello. It's been a year since my ex
and I... Hello. Hi. Hey.
It's been a year since my ex and I broke up, and I still can't believe... I still can't get over her. When I look back, I can only remember the good memories. I even believe that she was the one for me. When I ask people for advice, they tell me to move on or wait until you get over her. Is there a third path I could take? Signed, cloth bag, male, 31-year-old office clerk.
Excuse me? Cloth bag?
That's what it says. Cloth bag, male. Right. And then he answers, Ray Charles once earnestly sang, they say that time heals a broken heart, but time has stood still since we've been apart.
Okay.
There's no use of me singing, I can't stop loving you, to you, I suppose.
Is there the whole song there?
No.
Billy Joel once said that we didn't start the fire.
It's always been turning.
Yeah.
The world's been burnt. It's been burning.
As well.
Okay. And so he says, I understand what you're going through. I also have been through the same experience. Who cares?
Well, I mean, the writer, the person asking for the advice cares.
Yeah, he goes, think about her all you want. And after a broken heart, you can only remember the fun memories you had with her and you don't feel disgruntled at all. That is an amazing thing. Ray Charles said that
the rest of the song.
Live my life in dreams of yesterday. It's such a sad song. Listen to Ray Charles and spend your time wiping your tears.
Wow. I've never thought of Ray Charles' sad music.
Yeah. Things will start looking up. Ricky Nelson also once said, today's teardrop is tomorrow's rainbow.
This guy's listening to oldies.
Yeah, but you probably don't know who Ricky Nelson is.
He says that?
Yeah.
I don't know about that advice. I mean, this is a difficult one for me because maybe I'm just a callous person. And we've talked about this before. Once the relationship's over, I'm like, okay.
Just go.
Usually it's like, good.
Yeah.
Like, peace out. Mm-hmm. Like, get moving.
Yeah, it's like, you have feelings. Well, some people still have feelings. If you are the one that wants to do the leaving, then your feelings are pretty much over with.
Yeah, but obviously something wasn't going right if you had to go to the extreme of breaking that off. I don't know. Try to think of bad stuff.
If one person has really great feelings towards the other and the other wants to break up, that means they were not communicating.
There was no real relationship.
Yeah, and the other one was obviously leading them on.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be like, I was so in love with this person and it's like they despise you. Like, there's something going on.
Yeah.
There, you know?
And this is a writing advice. He says, they say, hello, being a graduate student, I need to write a lot. Reports, presentation speeches, emails to professors, etc. I'm not that great in writing, but if I don't, I won't be able to graduate. I struggle with it every day. How will this get easier? If you have any composition 101 techniques, can you let me know?
This person does not know how to use Google.
Right.
There's nothing but, like, composition techniques online. Anyway.
Right. This is written by a 23-year-old woman who is a graduate student.
Wow.
So he answers her by saying, writing is similar to trying to seduce a woman.
Is it?
It has a lot to do with practice, but mostly it's innate. Anyway, good luck.
Well, either you can get the skins or you can't.
Yeah. So you can write or you can't write.
I mean, I would say that's terrible advice. I would say go to the writing center at your university.
Yeah.
Every university has a writing center where you can get, like, some basic tips. It's not, you can learn how to write.
If you go to a master writer and ask how to write, he's going to say, go learn. Go
write.
Go write and learn somewhere.
Go write and learn.
Yeah.
You know? It's not, I don't like the idea that's like either you can do it or you can't. Mm-hmm. It's a learned skill, you know? Some people may have more flair at it than others. But keep in mind, this guy's a fiction writer and this woman's trying to write, material for a graduate course.
Right.
Completely different.
Right. Because there's a couple of other things, but it was very, very funny. So thank you much.
Yeah. Thank you, Cherie, for sending that in.
Yeah.
I have something I wanted to bring up here. This is this will freak you out.
Okay.
So this is unpopular technology.
Oh.
When we talk about technology that freaks us out, and this is about to get real unpopular.
Uh-oh.
3D printed snacks that grow their own filling.
Mm.
I'm just going to show you the picture.
No.
So 3D printed edible shells are embedded with seeds to grow their own tasty filling of sprouts and mushrooms. And it looks like fungus growing out of a dough ball.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. So you print out the shell, and it has seeds in it.
It has seeds in it. So 3D printed food has some limitations at the moment. The biggest limitation probably is that it looks like ass and tastes like worse. Right?
I would say those are limitations.
So basically, they're printing the material that they're using, the ink, mm-hmm. if you will, is whatever the material is. So if you're going to be printing bread, it's like squashed up bread, that kind of thing. And that's the professional way to say it. So what they're printing is a snack. It's a sort of a pastry shell. And it's a paste made out of insect flour.
No.
But a prototype.
What country is this coming from?
This is in Europe.
Yeah.
So it doesn't specify the country. I have the feeling that multiple, people are working on it mm-hmm. across Europe. So it's 3D printed food with insect flour, or you could use a pizza crust dough. I don't know why you just wouldn't automatically use that.
Exactly.
Like, why is that other option
out there? You like a pizza dough or an insect?
Insect dough.
Dough.
Let me think about that. So basically, they print the dough, and then inside the dough, they put seeds, mushroom spores, and yeast. And over a few days, they sprout, filling this shell, this dough shell, with a delicious flavor. They've made a fucking pizza, and I'm not impressed.
All right. This is also, if it takes days for them to sprout, this is against the concept of the 3D printing.
Because you need it fast.
You need it right now.
I can't believe, I was like, Katie, I need you to print out a document for me. And you're like, in a couple of days, the ink will appear on the page, and there you go. So, and it looks disgusting. Like, it looks like mold. Like, it's moldy.
Yeah.
If I see a bread with mushrooms and things growing out of it, I'm not going to eat that. I'm probably not going to put that in my mouth.
I've opened up a roll. I've gotten a roll, with my dinner, and I opened it, and there was, mold inside.
Ugh.
Yeah.
This mold is huge. Like, these are like, mushrooms with caps on them.
Oh.
Still mold.
So, I just don't understand why this is,
They're saying that eventually the aim is to minimize waste and carbon emissions while providing a means by which users can create their own ready-made healthy snacks.
All right.
It just seems like we already know how to bake bread and imbue it, you know, with mushroom and herb flavors.
And it could be done in a day.
It's a focaccia. Yeah. A day? It could be done in a couple hours.
Yeah.
Like, so basically they've invented a machine here that's going to print up a focaccia.
Right.
And I'm supposed to be excited about it. It says the project is on display. They said edible growth is at the point where it's a future food concept. And it can't really actually print. Because what you want them to do is you want them to print like a T-bone.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, I want them to print up, you know, like a nice glass of wine. And they're not there yet.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, this is where they are. But it looks awful. And it just seems kind of, it's like, get back to us when you've actually got something here.
Exactly.
You know? Like, when you're printing up a ham sandwich, maybe let me know.
Yeah.
But at this point, they're printing up things that we don't want to eat already.
Right.
Like, insect flour, there's not, like, a whole...
It's not a big market for the insect flour.
There's not people out there. If they're thinking about, you know, countries where there are food insecurity issues, if you handed this to people, I would hope that they would fling it back at you.
Yeah.
And bring us some chicken.
Can we all pinky swear to do that when this happens? And when you get a 3D printer and it makes you print and then grow your food?
Then we fling it back?
Fling it.
Like monkeys?
Yeah. Just throw it out your window onto the street.
It also, I'm not at the point where I need to print my snacks.
Mm-mm.
You know?
There's so many snacks
and then
everywhere.
But then you have to wait a couple days.
Yeah.
So, like, I have to anticipate that on Wednesday, I'm going to want this weird fungus, yeasty, insect ball dough.
There is so much food in the United States, and you don't have to travel far to get it. And there's a variety of food.
And I heard that we throw out something like 40% of the food, so I have no idea what they're talking about. It seems, once again, that it's not about a scarcity of resources. It's how the resources are parceled out to people.
Right, I think that's
And the idea that you're going to be like, well, I just threw out like a focaccia, but hold on, I'm going to print up real fast for you some insect flour bun.
I think that they're getting us ready for the robo-apocalypse because the robots are going to shut down everything. And they're going to say, really, you have to bow down to your overlords
now. And they're going
to
print out...
And they're like, we'll print you some insect
food. A focaccia.
How do you like that? And you're going to be like, yes, I like it very much. Thank you.
Yes. Robot overlords.
Yeah.
It looks terrible. It's in the future... I mean, a related article, and I don't have the article, but it says, an incubator for breeding your own edible fly larva.
No.
And then it says, grasshopper burgers? Question mark? To which I say, no. Pop-up pestarons. They're calling
Ew.
Them that are out to bug you. Pestarons.
Is that going to be the trend?
I don't know. I think it might be the trend for these ridiculous foodies who are always looking for the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up in a fairly modest area economically. We wanted to eat real food like the rich people.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to eat some weird, like, grasshopper paste, like, leftover, you know, lips and assholes kind of a focaccia thing. That's not, you know, we want regular food from, like, animals that we recognize.
Yeah.
That are larger than my thumb.
Yeah.
It just seems weird to me. In any case, so that's it. The 3D printed snacks.
Wow.
You know?
That's
the future
disgusting.
Is now.
Thank
it's
you.
It's disgusting. You're welcome. What do you have?
I have here Tales from the Campfire.
Awesome. Tales from the Campfire is a segment that we do where we find tales of the paranormal, fake lore, folklore.
Or myth.
Urban legends.
Sure.
And ghost stories, and yes. We retell them here around the digital campfire, so gather around, people.
Gather around, listeners. Okay, this one is called I Was a Child and She Was a Child.
Okay.
By
also known as We Were Both Children, as the alternate title.
Okay, this one is by Helena Lightfoot.
Really?
Oh, sure. Oh,
that's cool.
This particular story happened quite some time ago when I was no older than 9, which puts it at about 12 years behind me.
Oh, no. And where exactly did it happen? I need, like, feet radius.
Oh, yeah, you're going to get it.
Okay.
At the time, my family and I lived in a Cleveland suburb on a busy block in a relatively new community.
Okay. How far was it from something else?
Well, I would place the build date of the house sometimes in the 1960s or 70s.
Okay.
My room was on the second floor, directly across from the stairs.
Okay. Thank
and
you.
I often slept with the door open. That's bad news.
I can't do that.
I can't either.
You know.
I've always been a little afraid of the dark, and from my bed I could easily see down the first landing. That's the worst.
Oh, I know.
Why
Because you're always waiting for something to crest right above that, you know.
Yes, just like in Paranormal, whatever the movie
Activity?
Was.
Activity?
I guess.
They're on like number 5 now.
Yeah.
It's like just in a closet now.
Anyway, I had just gotten into bed one night and I was looking out into the hall where I could see the light from the downstairs bouncing up the staircase.
That's odd.
I think she's just trying to...
to liven it up with some...
I don't think it was bouncing.
Verbs, yeah. That's a different story.
Yeah, shining is one thing. Bouncing is another thing. I don't remember thinking of anything in particular, and I got tired enough to turn away and face the wall.
Okay. I got tired of it? Like, it got old?
Like, ugh. Whatever. Gotta face this wall.
Yeah.
This wall's better than you, bouncing light. I'll tell you that much. Just as I was turning, I caught a flash of a shadow out of the corner of my eye and turned back to see what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the light on the stairs made the figures dark, it looked like my dad was carrying my younger sister downstairs on his shoulders.
Okay. Huh? That's weird.
Yeah. The male figure was a little different from my father's shape, but the little girl had the same bobbed hair as my sister had and looked to be as tall and have the same figure.
Okay.
So I attributed my father's appearance to the lighting and turned over to fall back asleep.
Again. I don't think of a child as having a figure, but okay.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
It just sounds strange to me.
What would you say?
I don't know. Build?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
I mean, it's a synonym, but something about figure implies age.
Right, and an hourglass.
Yeah, something.
I assumed my sister didn't feel well, and he was struggling with lactose intolerance.
That's a pretty... pointed assumption there.
And acid reflux.
Okay. Anything else?
And that dad was carrying her downstairs to rock her or give her some medicine.
Okay.
You don't do that with acid reflux.
You'd be bouncing around on all that light.
You're rocking somebody who has acid reflux.
Don't they want to just lay down? Okay.
The next morning, I asked my mom if my sister was okay, and she just sort of looked at me and said, yes, why? Then I said,
are you okay?
What's up with you?
Yeah, what's with the fucking 40 questions? Just eat. Eat this Pop-Tart and get to stepping.
Go make something of yourself in this class.
Get out there.
At school. Certainly don't have a figure.
Yeah. So work on that figure.
Okay. When I said I thought seeing Dad carry her downstairs, she shook her head and said, no, she slept all night.
Wow. Okay.
Now, it sounds cliche, but I know what I saw.
Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I know what I saw.
The figures on the stairs were very distinct, so much so that I could make out the edges of the girl's nightgown and the cut of her hair and the stoop of the man's shoulders.
Okay. All right. The cut of her jib. And I didn't like it.
The stoop of the shoulders. The father needs to get some calcium.
Yeah, is it like slope-shouldered?
I don't know. My experience was backed up sometime later, though I couldn't have been much older than 11 because we had moved by then.
Okay.
Thanks for the clarification.
Yes.
My bedroom was still much the same, and I was laughing. Oh, no. I was lounging.
Okay, so she's in a new house now, same bedroom.
Right. She was lounging in bed one night, not particularly sleeping, just relaxing. I was staring at the ceiling, looking for shapes in the plaster.
Okay.
As one does.
Yes.
When I saw a foot kick up by the side of my bed.
What are you talking about? A foot?
Yeah, it was as if there was someone laying down on the floor right next to my bed and just kicked their leg up.
Okay. If I saw that, I probably would move so fast to seize that foot. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't be able to stop myself. If you saw a foot kick up.
I'd grab it.
I'd grab it, too.
You'd be like, oh, I'm pulling you out
now.
I don't need this.
Yeah. Too late now. You've been seen.
This is my foot now.
Yeah. Okay, a foot kicked up.
Again, I have a little sister, and I assumed that she had just snuck in while I wasn't looking, and the foot was clad in a cowboy boot. But with
excuse me. Okay.
But with the menagerie of costumes we had as kids, I assumed she just slipped them on. I rolled over to hang off the side of the bed so I could see her, and I was very surprised when all I saw was my carpet.
No foot.
Again, the shape was very distinct. I could see tassels shaking and studs holding the boot together.
Mm-hmm.
I never felt threatened at any time in my house, so I just kept my thoughts to myself.
I'm sorry, you just waved that away?
Yeah.
You just waved a cowboy boot away.
I was always the eccentric child. Millionaire. Recluse.
Eccentric.
And I was pretty sure my family would chalk it up to a very active imagination.
I only wore orange.
That was it.
Yeah. I only ate things that were orange as well.
And everyone had to call me Mr. Tibbles.
Yes.
I insisted. Yeah. Imagine my surprise that...
I only meowed. Those are my responses. That was it. Okay.
Imagine my surprise then when many years later, in the new house, in my new neighborhood, my mother confirmed my ideas. I was probably not... Now she speaks up. Oh, no. B.
Yes.
Like, wait. Your sister slept the whole night.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Wait, a foot kicked up? Hold on.
I was probably 19 or so. She and my sister and I were talking about ghosts. I brought up that I was pretty sure the old house was haunted, and she said, wait, what did you see? I explained my experiences, only to have her say that she often got the feeling she wasn't alone, and that our dog often stared up at one of the corners of the living room so intently there had to be something there. Probably a squirrel.
Yeah. Or just dog spacing out.
Yeah.
That could be his go-to. Maybe that's his happy place. Like, yeah. Some bullshit happened. Like, they threw him down like a nasty biscuit, and he's like, you know what? I'm just going to go over here.
And stare.
In my happy place.
Yeah. These people.
Yeah. They're still
this girl
here.
Wearing her orange all day.
Yes.
Everyone with their acid reflux.
Yeah.
I gotta just need some me time. That's what the dog was doing. All in all, I love the old house, and I was certainly never frightened of the ghosts in it. Looking back, I now feel sorry for the girl and the man I assumed to be her father and wish I could have helped them.
What?
That's it.
Bizarre. I want to keep this terrifying storytelling going.
Oh, please do.
I found some interesting stuff here. This is urban legends from Victorian London.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
So it's pretty interesting. Ooh. Because, you know, urban legends always deal with whatever the popular fears are, okay, at the time. So,
and also, it's like a geographic thing, too.
Mm-hmm. So this is from Victorian London specifically. Mm-hmm. This is in 1862. There was a panic that people were afraid they were going to be garroted, like all the time.
Really?
Like left, right, and center. So they believed that a band of criminals were stalking the capital, which is London, and garroting anyone who came into their path. That's what people believed.
Okay.
One unfortunate politician had already fallen victim to them as he made his way home from the club. Now...
The club?
For sure, he's a
what
politician.
Club?
I don't know. I got the gentleman's club. It's right. Gentleman's club. Someone's killed a politician. Okay,
all right,
fine. So,
good.
Right. As a result, people were horrified or terrified that this garroting was going to be going on all the time. Uh-huh. This was the big panic. What Pilkington was mugged and quite possibly choked, but he wasn't killed.
Oh.
So, at first I thought garroting was like when you actually kill someone. It's just choking somebody out, mm-hmm, with a wire, basically. But the random incident.
Like Luca Brasi style, getting behind them with a wire.
Yeah.
But you say hello to Michael. This is hello from Michael Corleone.
But he killed people.
Yeah.
This is just like a choke out.
Okay.
So because this happened to him, it created a panic, mm-hmm, where everybody thought they were going to be choked out all the time. Mm-hmm. Like every time they left their homes, people lived in fear of being choked out.
Okay. It's like when you go to the mall and they say, oh, don't walk down the stairs because they're going to slit your Achilles.
Exactly.
It's like happened once.
And magazines picked it up, periodicals, mm-hmm, picked it up, because obviously this sells paper, and there was a frenzy about it, and it was so bad that they wanted to end transportation to Australia, because at this time, mm-hmm, they were sending convicts over there. So there was panic around that,
okay,
these guys going back and forth, and then they passed a law in 1863 that made corporal punishment the rule for anyone caught garroting anyone.
Okay.
But there was no...
Nobody caught anybody.
Nobody. This is just, you know, this is just the way it was. Another one that I thought was really interesting is it's an urban legend, the Black Sewer Swine Herd of Hampstead.
What?
So for some reason...
The Black Sewer Swine, yeah, Herd of Hampstead. Okay.
So they, much like the story of alligators living in the sewers, mm-hmm, they had stories about a herd of swine that were subsisting in the sewers. And that apparently they were afraid that so many pigs would be breeding down the sewers that one day the sewers would just erupt in angry herds of swine.
Like viewing a spouting of baby swine,
yes,
coming out.
Like in
like
the streets.
A blowhole.
Yeah.
Okay.
So obviously it's just a classic urban legend. Someone said, hey, one of my pigs got in there, had some kids, mm-hmm, you know, and then it went on from there. And people were just kind of freaked out about it. And it just demonstrates their fear of having sewers in general, which at that time were kind of, I won't say it's novel, but it was like, you know, people were really getting nervous about these pipes going under the city that were big enough for a man or animal to,
right,
walk through, you know, and that also they were dirty, you know, they were a place of disease,
yeah,
you know. So this idea that there would be pigs down there.
Oh, my God.
Running free.
It's kind of like alligators in mm-hmm, New York. How
guaranteed
funny.
No one has ever seen a pig in the sewer. Like, it's just probably not going to happen at all.
That's so interesting.
There was another one. This is a spirit photographs. the idea that you could capture a spirit in a picture.
Mm-hmm.
So it turned out to be just be double exposure. But by the time people figured this out, a lot of photographers had just integrated this into their practice. So they would do things like they would actually do the double exposure and be like, here's a ghost. Mm-hmm. Or they would have, while you were posing, because you had to pose for a long time then, he would have an assistant dressed up like someone, quickly step into the photograph, and then step out. And that would create the image of a ghost because you had to sit for a long time,
right.
You know, for the pictures to
and
be
taken.
And
that's also why people didn't smile a lot in pictures because you couldn't
hold it.
Right.
So I just thought it was very interesting. The spirit photos, it actually became a really, really big business in Victorian times until it was unmasked.
Oh.
So some classic urban legends. I like the swine herd.
I like that too.
All right, what do you have?
I saw this. This is about science.
Okay.
And again, about the,
You know science.
And just the idea of the robo-apocalypse.
Okay.
And this is something.
Which is coming.
Which is coming. And it's, 3D printer hacked into tattoo machine.
Huh?
Yes. Okay. So basically, a group of French design students hacked a commercial 3D printing machine.
To stop it from printing the focaccia?
And they added a tattoo gun.
Okay.
So what they did is that you put a young person volunteered and he stuck his arm into the tattoo machine,
mm-hmm.
Where the ink is automatically administered by computer-controlled needles.
Wow.
So you don't have a person doing the tattoo. There's a machine that does it. And so you can put a program into what you want. And you stick your arm in, and the computer will administer the tattoo.
And did it work?
It works, but also people hacked into it. So if you're like, I'd like that nice rose.
And then you come out, and it's like Mike Tyson.
Right.
Eating the head of a dove.
Right. Basically, yeah. So people who can do...
Like, you think you're printing out one thing, and you're printing out something else. I don't know. I have a lot of tattoos, and actually one of the things I like about them is that there's a person doing mm-hmm. it. And so that you feel like... It should be art.
Yeah.
And someone's creating a design that's specifically for you. I guess if you're just going and getting, like, a crack rose. You know what I mean?
A crack rose?
You know how people, like, at the base, like, right above their crack. They'll have, like, a, what do they used to call them? Tramp stamps or whatever.
Yeah.
If you're doing something really, like, basic like that, I get it. But also, a person, you can say, ow, this is hurting.
Yeah. Oh, no, with the machine, you're going to be in there. And
that's
it.
With the machine, it's done. And what if you move?
Yeah.
And now it's on your boob, and you want it on your shoulder.
Right. And then also, I think this machine is just for the arm, and so they'll have to make other machines for other body parts.
I don't know if I'd put my arm in there, let alone another body part.
Yeah.
I mean, I've got some tattoos in places where I don't think I want a robot.
Right.
Speaking of the robots, I saw this, so really short thing. It's kind of on the same area. This is a robot surgeon that is doing hair transplants.
Whoa.
So you sit in this machine, mm-hmm. and then it snatches hair from the back. Like in the commercial where the hair flies
from the back
and flies towards the front of the head.
Right, because the balding happens on the top.
And not in the back. So they're trying to, you got guys who have a really... if you've ever seen this before, it looks like it's sprouting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can really see when someone has hair transplants. It looks like turf.
Yeah, right.
Like a Barbie doll hair.
Right.
But what they're doing here is they're having the machine pull hair from the back. So I guess this guy's just has a receding hairline in the back, if you can imagine that. So the hair stops, short in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And they try to pull it forward to the front.
Wow.
I'm just like, get a toupee. You know what I'm saying? Look at Ted Danson. He looks fantastic.
Or don't even bother.
Or don't bother. Wear a hat.
Yeah, I think with guys, it doesn't matter.
It depends on the head.
Yeah.
You're being generous, I think. If you've seen someone whose head is not exactly, symmetric.
You want it to be covered.
Yes, you want it to be covered.
Okay.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
I like a bald head.
It's fine.
Let me have the hair.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, you work on other things. I don't mind a bald guy. I do understand if guys want to cover it up. It just seems so extreme to me to denude the back of one's head to try to cover up the front. And it looks bad.
I think it's a waste of time and money. That money can be better spent on the women in their life.
Yes, or on a wig. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with a hairpiece?
I think with guys and hair, like, you know, some guys will shave and wax and do all of that, that manscaping.
You talk about body, yeah.
Body hair. And I just feel like, no, there's guys are too hairy. We should not impose upon them that they have to wax and do all these different things.
They're naturally hairy, and you're right. If they had as little hair as women did, then I would understand it. But I can't even imagine waxing a chest.
Oh, yeah. And then having to commit to that. I think it's awful.
What about when it grows back?
Yeah.
Doesn't it itch?
Yeah.
Are they, like, dancing around? Do you know what I mean? Like, when the hair starts to grow back, it's very uncomfortable.
Yes, it is. And, I know. I just feel like that more and more men are expected to be waxing and shaving and plucking and doing these different things. Mm-hmm. And they shouldn't have to.
Yeah. I mean, or I would say they shouldn't feel as though it's necessary for them.
But I think the pressure is becoming more and more. It's increasing for them, and I don't think it's fair.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a good source of revenue, right, for some people.
That's true. It's like a
So that's where it comes
it's
in.
It's a fertile ground for making
They're
money.
They're like, we've waxed as many women as we possibly can. Now we're capped at that. What can we move on to?
Yeah.
Yeah, but most of the guys that I know are so hairy that I would, if they said they were getting waxed, I'd be like, please don't.
Yeah.
But you have no idea how hard this is,
It's going to be on you.
Yeah, growing back. And that, like I say, now you've committed to maintenance on this.
Yeah.
Just wear a hat.
Yeah.
All right, what do you have?
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
I found how to treat a woman.
Oh, great.
Yeah. You know, because there were different, I was coming across different articles and.
Was this from a men's site?
No, this is just a WikiHow.
Okay. Oh, wow. This is actually how to treat a woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there are four methods, and each method has a sub-step.
Okay.
Four methods. Be a good communicator. Show respect. Make her feel special, bringing the romance. So, number one, be a good communicator.
Okay.
Well, first, well, I have to say congratulations to them because they...
Is well written?
They began the article very... with just a few sentences. Okay. Treated a woman well requires a combination of common courtesy and uncommon acts of love and kindness.
Okay. Wow.
Uncommon.
That's a lot. Yeah, you gotta get creative.
Now follow the steps below and soon your woman will see you for what you are, one of the good guys.
Okay.
So if you want to be one of the good guys.
Or you want to look like one of the good guys.
Right. This is what you do.
Because obviously if you were one of the good guys, you'd probably already be doing this, right?
Right. Be a good communicator. Communicate your feelings.
Nobody really wants to hear your feelings,
That's
though.
That's true. Some men underestimate the importance of telling a woman how they feel. In many cases...
And some overestimate it. And don't stop.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's true. In many cases, men prefer to use actions rather than words to communicate their feelings.
Okay.
Like, I don't know
I don't know. I'm trying to think of a positive... Like, instead of saying, I love you, here's a C note. Because those kind of say the same thing to me. I don't know.
Okay. A C note? When you receive a C note, that just... Take that for a
If it's from someone you're dating, yeah. Someone slipped you a C note.
It's nice.
Yeah, see?
Even not on just my thinking dresser. About
it. No, they don't leave it there on the way out. With a note, thanks.
Yeah. That sounds like you should know that women need to hear I love you from time to time, so make it a point to express that sentiment.
Okay. And how often? Is there a timer? Like, what do we do here?
Well, just say time to time.
Okay.
Good news, it turns out men are more often the ones to declare feelings of love first in a relationship.
Is that true?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess so. I feel like there's a... Culturally, women are... We feel like we have to hold back on them because we don't want to play our hand.
Yeah, women can't really say it first.
I mean, you can. I did.
Yeah.
For the marriage, for Greg and I did. But I was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
I went first.
Research has determined that men take only 88 days to tell the partner they love them compared to the woman's 134.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And studies say men say I love you first 70% of the time.
Okay.
Two, not 30.
Yeah. I'm in the minority again.
And then watch your timing. Women prefer to hear I love you after sex than before.
Huh? Really? Well, you know what? I think it's because of cynicism. You say it before and it's like... Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sure you do. Yeah, you're trying to get somewhere.
Yeah. If you say it after, it's like, oh, okay. Still here.
Yep. Yep. After the loving, I'm still in love with you. Yes, Engelbert Humperdinck.
I'm still here. Even after I hit it.
Yeah. After I hit it, I still, you're okay in my book.
I still care, yeah.
You're all right. Now that I just used you for what I wanted.
Yeah, he surprised himself.
Yeah.
He thought he'd be leaving.
Right. Yeah. But he's like, this is quite all right.
This is okay, Engelbert Humperdinck.
Be a good listener. Everyone, not only women, wants to be heard. That's
okay.
True.
Yeah.
If you know how to listen, your woman will greatly appreciate it.
Stop saying your woman.
Your woman.
This is the 70s.
Try these tips to be a better listener. Get rid of distractions.
Listen.
Yeah, turn off the ball game or ignoring that text you got. Yeah. Try to keep from interrupting unless the question is crucial to your understanding of the situation. So don't interrupt.
Okay. Turn off the TV.
Yeah. Read nonverbal cues.
That's kind of weird, though. Like, if I walk into the room and I'm like, hey, what's up? I'm like, okay, what were you watching?
Yeah.
Because that's weird.
Yeah. So read nonverbal cues. Gestures, facial expressions, and eye movements.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not an eye roll.
Yes. Side eye.
Yeah. Can be all important. Don't just listen with your ears, but also with your eyes, so you can gain greater insight.
That's like what you say to kids, like, you see with your eyes, not with your hands.
Yeah.
And as a kid, you're like, but I need to feel this thing, whatever it is. Like, I need to see a bunny with my hands.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, it's not enough to see it with my eyes.
See things from her point of view. Your girlfriend or wife may be upset about something that would never trouble you, or she may describe a scenario you can't imagine being a part of, but you have to try.
Yeah. That's when you need your stock lines.
Yeah.
That must be difficult for you.
Yes.
Or I can't even imagine how that feels. Back to the game.
Right. Yeah. Refrain from solving the problem. Yeah.
Okay. You know what? That's never going to happen. I, in my experience, dudes always want to solve the problem right away. Like, they usually get the whole problem out. And it's not rude.
Yeah.
But it's like you're complaining or you're giving, like, oh, this happened. Like, well, why don't you do this?
Yeah.
Automatic.
You should have done that.
Yeah.
Or that's it. You should have done
it. You should have. It's very, that's more of a gay man.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, I think it's really difficult for guys to not, because they think when you're telling them a problem, they're like, oh, obviously, she wants some help solving this problem.
Yeah.
It's like, no, I just want to talk about it.
Yeah. It's just, you're just sharing your feelings.
Yeah, I'm just putting it out there. There's probably no solution to what's going on with me and Felicia.
Yeah.
You know, but I still want to talk about it.
Let's see. It says number two here. Show respect. Behave like a gentleman. Treat her fairly. Don't open doors. This just...
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know about this. This just shows you think she's weak.
I feel like that's just a common courtesy thing for everybody. Like, I open doors for women.
Yeah, I know. I do, too. And it's opening a door for somebody who's near you. That's
all.
Yeah,
that's just nice.
Yeah.
Although, I saw a poor guy the other day. He got stuck at the door. And he was just there for, like, 10 people.
Oh, yeah.
And then I tried to let him go, and he was like, no. And then it was, like, another 10 people. So, you know, you got to choose your battles there.
Yeah, well, that happens to everybody from time to time. You get stuck out there.
Yeah, and then you're just holding the door.
Yeah.
It makes me wish I had a cup. I could have gotten some change.
Yeah,
right. What would happen if I did that? Be like, excuse me? Shake, shake?
Another one is be polite. Women like to hear please and thank you. Even if you've been dating a while or married a long time, don't throw manners out the window. That's true. Everybody, just say please and thank you for everyone.
Yeah, it's nice.
Avoid using profanity. Sorry.
Wow. Fuck that. I mean, that's not, you know, like, that's not going to happen.
Well, never, you can use profanity all you want. They say here, never use profanity or offensive slang to refer to your woman.
In front of your woman.
Even if you're just kidding. I would not, I kind of agree.
I agree with that one. Don't accidentally call her a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or do and see what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, see how you learn never to accidentally do that again.
Right, right. Don't change or break plans. If it's an emergency or the change is completely unavoidable, of course you can break a date, but be sure to give as much notice as possible and offer a very good explanation and apology.
Have something.
Right.
Already ready to go.
Be on time, which is for everyone.
I find these, it's like a lot of these things are just like basic how not to be an asshole.
Right. This is what I'm saying. It's like, but I guess, are they trying to remind guys that they have to?
I think so. Sometimes when I do research for things like this, there's a lot of advice on how to be a gentleman again. So it's either people don't know how to be a gentleman and they want to know how to do it, or these are just a lot of, like, you know, not so different articles. Because maybe guys aren't learning from their father how to be gentlemen.
Like, what does it mean to be a man? How do you behave as a man?
And I don't know, like, all of those ideas are coming, should be coming from culture and, you know, older people that are around you. And I guess people aren't getting that.
Yeah, I think so.
Because, like, no one should have to tell you how to listen.
Yeah.
You know?
Or to, you know, or here, be on time or treat your family well. Like, you're how to be kind to people.
And, like, you should probably know that already. Yeah. But maybe there are some people out there who are like, I don't know. I've been coming in late, pissing on the floor, calling her a bitch. I don't know what the problem is. She tries to say something. I'm like, here's what you should have done.
Yeah. I don't what's know. Her problem?
Yeah, what's her problem?
Why are we getting a divorce?
I don't know.
Then this is make her feel special. And this is something a lot of guys do not know how to do.
Is make a woman feel special.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think it's really hard to do, though, because everybody is so, like, oh, well, the woman may not tell you mm-hmm. what the thing is. Like, I find sometimes it's like, we want them to guess what the thing is, and they're not mind readers, clearly.
Right. That's the one part. Yeah. Women don't want to come right out and say what they want.
Yeah. They don't want to be like, really what I'm looking for is a C note.
Yeah. But you will also find a lot of guys will get that information if they just listen.
Yes. Yes, the information is out there. It's a phone a friend.
Yeah. And like, you know. First of all, well, here is a very easy one. Acknowledge special occasions.
Okay.
Christmas, Valentine's Day, those things. You have to then treat them.
If the woman's into it.
Right.
I don't like special occasions.
Okay.
I don't, you know.
Perfect.
But you have to know that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't like Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Celebrate your anniversary.
Yeah, yeah, please do.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, because that's between the two of you. And you have to remember it and not be like, whatever.
You know what? Plug it into your phone.
Yeah.
I'm very, very bad with dates.
Yeah, so that's one thing. Know that the person likes this.
So basically just, like, pay attention.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I always say, like, have you ever heard about other people?
Yeah. Right.
They're out there.
Right. Give thoughtful gifts. Gifts that come from the heart are among the most appreciated. I don't know.
It's not always the thought that counts, though.
No. Put some time and thought into choosing something your woman would love or make something for her. No.
Unless you're a professional at that, don't make anything. Yeah. You could print her up a focaccia.
Right. Right. Unless you're very skilled at whatever it is. Yes. And then that's it.
That's going to be the future, isn't it? Instead of a panty rose, guys going to be like, fuck, what can I print?
Yeah, right.
What can I print?
I need to print something now. Then it says give flowers, but not every woman is a sucker for flowers.
Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, I don't know if a sucker is the right way to put it. No one's ever given me flowers and I've been like, you know what, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Go crazy.
He's like, oh, this sucker.
Yeah.
Got her.
Go to town.
Uh-huh. Bring flowers on your next date or have them delivered to her home or workplace if that's appropriate.
Who doesn't know about that? I don't know.
Mention her to your friends. Hey.
Have you heard about Sally?
That be.
She's a sucker for flowers.
If it's important to you, your friend should know it. Oh, if she's important to you, your friend should know it. That doesn't mean that you have to go on and on about her. And never discuss what goes on in the bedroom with your friends.
Yeah, see, this is another difficult one because at the beginning of relationships, and I know women, we talk about it.
Yeah.
You don't know how far it's going to go.
Yeah. You don't know. Yeah,
you don't know. So you could be talking about the person that you're going to be with for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Or you could be talking about the person you're going to be with for the rest of this week.
Right.
Like, you really are not sure. So that's a difficult one. And you want to be able to share, like, you know, some weird stuff that happened with your friends.
To see,
you know, where you are with the relationship.
Yeah. I tend not to, especially with other, like, married people.
Married people tell each other everything.
Yeah. But if you're single and then you start talking, it's like, what is she doing? What?
I think it depends on the marriage. Like, some married people are probably like, oh, it's nice to hear that people are still doing this. And then others may be, you know, a little put off by it.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the, are you talking about like a couple you're talking to or just one person?
Or just one person.
You're not gathering them together. Mr. and Mrs. Jones, I have something I'm going to talk to you about.
Guess what I did Saturday?
Yes.
Mr. and Mrs. Jones. I'd like to tell you all about.
What happened to Jones? It used to be such a common name when I was growing up. It's like they've scrapped it.
Well, they died out.
All the Joneses are gone. You can't keep up with them.
Can't keep up with
They're
them.
6 feet under.
They ran off. Okay, bringing the romance.
Okay.
Understand that little things mean a lot. Again, you have to know what's romantic.
I think this is where it's... Because I know you like romantic comedies.
Yes.
I hate them. But I'm wondering if people are getting their ideas about romance from romantic comedies. Yeah. Like, you don't need to crash your car into somebody to have it be a romance, you know.
Right, right. Thoughtful acts like bringing a cup of coffee in the morning or putting air in her car tires are very concrete ways of saying,
if I see somebody fucking with my tires,
get away from my tires.
What the hell are you doing?
I have this is a sweet story, actually. There is, my mother's friends, this husband and wife, they've been together for 40 years.
Wow.
40 plus years, almost 50. And every morning he brings her, he goes to work. And he gets up earlier than she does. He brings a carafe of coffee and her mug and the accoutrement for the coffee and leaves it on her bedside every single day. And when he went on business trips,
he
got the son to do it. So the son, before he went to school, he's like in high school, he had to get up and make the coffee.
What is this woman like without coffee is what I want to know. I think that's where that is. Yes, obviously he cares a lot about his partner, but come on, that sounds a little like... No, even if I'm not here. Seriously?
This is it.
You guys gotta make sure that Kara is there. It's not a joke. You know? Like, if she doesn't get this coffee, we're all done. Like, you know what I mean? You don't want to know.
It's like, press the button. Yes. I got lost. Like, every...
Because that's a lot of coffee. I can understand if you're saying, like, he just puts a mug there. This is a whole... This is a couple of servings.
And
everything. So she just rolls over and just... That's the first thing that she does in the morning is have a cup of coffee. Literally.
Yeah.
Have a cup of coffee.
In bed.
Wow. I like his style.
Yeah. What's what she likes. So
I wonder if she didn't get it one day, if she'd be like, that's it. I'm burning this piece down. Maybe she's got something on him. That's serious, though. Do you know what I mean? Like, can you imagine? Forget about that. It's nice because it seems like, you know, it's a man doing something for a woman. But what if it went the other way around? It was like every morning.
Yeah.
That dude has got to have that coffee. We'd be like, he's addicted.
Yeah, yeah.
It goes from sweet to scary. All right.
Next is send a message. Scratch out a quick note or send her a text or fire off an email.
Fire off an email is one of the terms that I hate more than... That's like circle back.
Circle back.
Do not... You know what? Send me an email. Don't fire it off.
Yeah.
I don't want it. If you fired it off, I don't want it. I'm telling you now.
Give compliments. You may never have to answer the question, do these pants make my butt look big? But if you're quick to compliment your woman on her appearance, you should do that.
If you're quick to...
I read that wrong, but let's keep it.
Really? If you're quick to compliment a woman.
Dispel any insecurities by saying nice things about parts of her body she may feel less than great about.
Girl, those ankles are on point. Who is asking, does this make me look fat? I know it makes me look fat.
Yeah.
I have it on.
Yeah.
And you can see it.
Yeah. I have a mirror and I have eyes.
Yes. You know what makes me not look fat? A dim light and distance. That works for everybody, you know?
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Follow her lead. Initially, let the woman set the pace for your physical relationship.
Hmm?
No woman wants to feel pressured into having sex before she's ready.
Okay, no person.
No person does.
Yeah.
Embrace...
Like, I'm sure guys don't like it either.
Yeah, I'm not ready, says the guy.
Okay, he may actually not be ready.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Physically ready.
Right. Let her know how you feel. Back off without pouting.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah. Back off without pouting.
Just back up slowly. Be like, all right.
Across the room.
Yeah.
Five giant steps. And then just stand there.
Yeah, I'm like, not damn pouting. It.
Embrace foreplay.
Okay. Wow.
Experts agree that foreplay is an important part of sexual health. In fact, now they throw the science in there. They have to. Why don't you just say it without? In fact, an Australian study found that the majority of women are more aroused by the idea of foreplay than sex itself.
That's... There's something wrong with that. Like, she seemed excited when I brought it up, but now that we're actually doing it, she's, like, just kind of reading a book on the side, like, Like, the idea is exciting.
Yeah. Hold, touch, and caress your partner. Play games or dirty talk.
Mm-hmm. Talk it's like the idea of seeing a Liam Neeson movie is exciting, and then you see the movie, it's like lackluster.
If you're not sure what your woman likes, ask.
Yeah.
Just do it outside the bedroom.
It what?
Ask outside the bedroom.
Oh. Whatever. I thought you meant whatever she says is like, let's take this to the kitchen. Really fast.
It's easier to have that conversation if you're not just about to have sex.
Yes. It is.
It is. That's true. Pop the question. If you love her and you're ready to settle down and you know she's the one, then make a commitment. If you plan to propose marriage, be sure you mean it.
What?
If you plan to... If you plan to propose marriage, make sure you mean it.
You don't just say, like, will you marry me? Don't!
I didn't mean it. Someday.
Yeah.
Buy a ring if you can.
Put a ring on it if you can.
Get on one knee and tell her you can't imagine life without her and ask if she'll do the honor of becoming your wife.
Are people still doing that way?
Yes. Why not?
I don't know. I wanted to bring up something that just...
What's the matter?
There's a new robot out there.
Oh, no.
Yes. It's called the Robear. And it's not French. It's R-O-B-E-A-R. It's a bear. So this is a robot that's like, it's about 6 feet tall.
Okay.
And it's, the goal of the robot is to pick people up. Now, the goal is noble. The people who are wheelchair bound, it's picking them up, moving them to the wheelchair.
Which is nice. Which is great.
However, this thing has the head of a teddy bear. A plastic teddy bear head on top of a robot. It's always smiling. Its ears are always perked up. It has big, dead shark hooker doll eyes.
Oh,
and it looks
no.
frightening. I would not let this thing pick me up and move me
Wow,
anywhere.
That is terrifying.
What is going on?
It looks like a large C-3PO
yes.
with a bear head on
with
it.
With a bear head, on a freaky bear head.
Yeah.
This is coming out of Japan.
Not a C-3PO, R2-D2.
Oh, yeah.
R2-D2,
yes, R2-D2
is the short one.
It's coming out of Japan, and this is their idea of what is cute. This thing is frightening from beginning
what?
To end.
Oh, my God.
So this, I feel like I'm freaked out now. When I'm 80 and I see this shit coming at me.
You don't need that.
I'm all doped up.
You don't need, like, but it doesn't.
He's freaked out.
People of all ages would need this. It's not just the elderly. Well, there's other people.
This one is specifically for the elderly because it's they've engineered it to pick up people who are very heavy.
Okay.
So for someone smaller, they have other, you know, other ways of transferring people.
Just a big claw comes out.
He just drops out of the sky. You know, like those machines at the arcade
yeah.
where you're trying to pick up something.
Surprise,
the claw comes
yeah.
down. But this is for, you know, for adults.
Yeah.
So this thing is pretty robust. It just looks really creepy. I just want to impress upon any robot people out there, it doesn't have to look human. You're
yeah.
limiting what these things can do, and you're freaking people out, man.
It doesn't have to look like it's alive.
No, it doesn't have to yeah. look like it's alive, because you know what? It ain't. It ain't. I don't ask you to make my toaster look friendlier.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want my microwave to have a face.
No.
Or arms. Or
no.
anything else that's, you know, humanoid.
Right.
It's fine to have these things do what they
right.
do. I like the idea, frankly, of the giant claw.
Yeah.
Drop it down. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
I thought I think it's nice, but it's really funny.
It is. It's weird. Like, she really needs a coffee.
She needs
like,
that
it's not
coffee.
A joke. You know?
Get her the coffee.
He meant if it's not there, she'd be like, what the?
I woke up.
Yeah.
And he comes home from work. I woke up this morning. Guess what?
Or maybe it's like, it's payback for something that happened, like, in the 40s. Like,
yeah.
he looked at another woman's ankle, and she was like, you know what?
Guess what?
Guess what? That's it. What's in the coffee? I don't know.
Yeah.
I like it.